With my new status within the National NAMI organization, I immediately began keynoting at state NAMI annual conventions all around the country. Before I began this venture, the Harvard Brain Tissue Resource Center, Brain Bank, which was positioned right next to the Bennis Lab, was receiving fewer than 3 brains a year from psychiatrically diagnosed individuals. This was barely enough tissue for Francine's lab to do its work, much less for the Brain Bank to supply tissue to the other reputable labs that requested it. Within a few months of my traveling around and educating our NAMI families about the tissue issue, the number of brain donations began to increase. Currently, the number of donations from the psychiatrically diagnosed population ranges from 25 to 35 per year. The scientific community would make good use of 100 per year. I realized that early on in my tissue issue presentations, the subject of brain donation would make some of my audience members squirm uncomfortably. There was this predictable moment when my audience would realize, "Oh my gosh, she wants my brain." And I would say to them, "Well, yes, I do, but don't worry, I'm in no hurry." To combat their obvious apprehension, I wrote the Brain Bank jingle titled 1-800-BRAIN-BANK and began traveling with my guitar as the singing scientist. As I neared the subject of brain donation and the tension in the room began to rise, I'd pull out my guitar and sing for them. The Brain Bank jingle seems to be just goofy enough to effectively dampen the tension, open hearts, and make it okay for me to communicate my message. My efforts with NAMI brought deep meaning to my life, and my work in the lab flourished. My primary research project in the Bennis Lab involved working with Francine to create a protocol where we could visualize 3 neurotransmitter systems in the same piece of tissue. Neurotransmitters are the chemicals with which brain cells communicate. This was important work since the newer atypical antipsychotic medications are designed to influence multiple neurotransmitter systems rather than just one. Our ability to visualize 3 different systems in the same piece of tissue increased our ability to understand the delicate interplay between these systems. It was our goal to better understand the microcircuitry of the brain. Which cells in which areas of the brain communicate with which chemicals and in what quantities of those chemicals. The better we understood what the differences were, at a cellular level, between the brains of individuals diagnosed with a severe mental illness and normal control brains, the closer the medical community would be to helping those in need with appropriate medications. In the spring of 1995, this work was featured on the cover of Biotechniques Journal, and in 1996, it won me the prestigious Mizell Award from the Harvard Medical School Department of Psychiatry. I loved working in the lab, and I loved sharing this work with my NAMI family. And then the unthinkable happened. I was in my mid-30s and thriving, both professionally and personally. But in one fell swoop, the rosiness of my life and promising future evaporated. I woke up on December 10, 1996, to discover that I had a brain disorder of my own. I was having a stroke. Within 4 brief hours, I watched my mind completely deteriorate in its ability to process all stimulation coming in through my senses. This rare form of hemorrhage rendered me completely disabled, whereby I could not walk, talk, read, write, or recall any aspects of my life. I realize you are probably eager to begin reading the personal account of the morning of the stroke. However, in order for you to more clearly understand what was going on inside my brain, I have chosen to present some simple science in chapters 2 and 3.